This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. It is 6:38 in the evening. And our next story of the day, the biggest business story of the day, actually, broke early this morning that the Khazanah board had sent undated resignation letters to the Ministry of Finance, which is its ultimate shareholder, because the board decided that the new Pakatan Harapan government needed a clean slate.
Essentially, this is how they worded it. I think this is how they worded it, because we did have the press statement from them saying that the managing director and the rest have offered to resign from the board. It's done in order to facilitate a smooth and orderly transition under the new government.
Correct. So the Singapore Straits Times had run this article, actually. I think there was some leaked information about this happening before it was actually confirmed by Khazanah. And I guess in that piece, they were talking about how Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar, the chairman, the CEO, was unable to actually get an appointment to see Tun Dr. Mahathir. It's what now been 2.5 months since the general election, which feels a little inconceivable that the head of your investment arm is unable, the government's investment arm is unable to get an appointment with the Prime Minister.
Well,
right?
I don't know whether it's necessarily that surprising. We know that Tun Mahathir had hinted earlier, suggested that the Sovereign Wealth Fund is to get a new direction with fresh leadership at the helm.
That's right.
Right. We also know, obviously, in recent weeks, heads of GLCs and funds have left or their contracts not renewed.
Yes.
I guess he has also said, Dunem has also said that when he formed Khazanah in 1994, it was to hold shares in government firms, right? He said that they're no longer following the initial intention of the formation of Khazanah, saying that they were doing all kinds of funny things. We're quoting here, right? They're buying houses, they're creating and taking over companies, effectively, I guess, raising different question marks.
Yeah. The interesting thing about what's going on with, I guess, all of the CEOs of GLCs and so on, we also had another resignation today. Of course, the head of Prasarana stepped down as well. That was the former IGP. Yep. So, I mean, if it was a political appointment, it feels like a lot of these individuals are submitting their letters of resignation. However, when it comes to the Khazanah board in particular, if you look at that list of names, these are big names. These are people like Tan Sri Andrew Sheng, for example, Nazir Raza. I mean, they are real doyens of industry, if you will, right? And so I'm not saying that the Malaysian talent pool when it comes to corporate governance is small, but these individuals are right up there at the top of the bunch, right? Now we're going to cross over to Jayant Menon, the lead economist for trade and regional coordination at the Asian Development Bank. Jay, thank you so much for joining us via Skype. What do you think this mass resignation signals?
I think it's a recognition that there's a new administration in place that has been critical, openly and directly, of the direction and focus of Khazanah and other GLICs and GLCs, right? This has come from the very top, from the Prime Minister himself. And so it would not make sense, in light of those comments, for the board of directors or managing director to continue to serve. They should serve at the pleasure of the government, even if they are not directly public servants, but they are entrusted with public funds. And so when these statements are made about how they've lost their focus and direction and original purpose, they really have no choice but to offer to resign.
Right. And how would you say Khazanah's performance has been like as an investment arm for the government?
I think Khazanah is actually, quite a competent body, with good people, very effective people in their management and also other parts of their staffing. The problem, I think, is the complications that arise from the nexus between business and government when the government exploits the opportunities that present themselves. So they're caught, I think, in that nexus, and therefore have probably felt it difficult to do their job as they originally intended, right? So there's room for pressure and manipulation, and the Reuters news item that presented evidence of misuse of funds is an example of how that can happen. But otherwise, I think they've done quite well. They oversaw part of the transformation program for the GLCs. And that was quite a good program in terms of trying to make GLCs more market-oriented. The problem is that the divestment function or objective was lost in the process. So at the end of the GLC transformation program, the share of government in business actually increased rather than decreased, right? And this was not the intention. So in that sense, I think that was not a successful outcome. But otherwise, I think they've done quite a good job.
Jayan, what's your opinion on Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's criticism of Khazanah, saying that they've deviated from the original objective?
I think what the Prime Minister said was that they have grown so big and huge to be monsters. That's his term, right? And so clearly that's referring to their size. And they are huge. I mean, not just Khazanah, but all the government link or companies that they invest in, right? And some of them are totally dominant in some sectors to the point where they're crowding out private investment. The role of the GLCs was to support the Bhumiputra program, right? To create this new class of Bhumiputra entrepreneurs. And that clearly hasn't happened. So I think he's referring to all of those things. And the fact that, you know, there's been sort of regulatory capture and also corruption, right? And this has clearly made these GLCs and GLICs lose their original purpose and function.
Right. So Rimba MP Kari Jamaluddin says that he fears Khazanah will return to a 90s mindset where the business models from that era are no longer applicable today. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think I've read his comments. I think what he's pointing to is the program of privatization that took place during Prime Minister Mahathir's previous reign, where there were allegations of cronyism, connected people being offered lucrative opportunities through the privatization process. And I think that's a valid concern. And so any program of divestment needs to be done very carefully. We don't want to end up increasing the concentration of wealth or power from the public to the private sector in the hands of a few, right? That's a hollow victory if that's what happens. So I think the divestment process should be through greater public listing of the firms that are being divested so that, you know, the citizens at large get the opportunity to participate in the divestment process and purchase, equity stake in the divested firms. So I think he raises a legitimate concern, but I think also that this government here cannot risk going down that path and will be very careful not to be in a position where they can be accused of perpetuating cronyism or, you know, patronage politics, which has been something they've alleged happened under the last government. So they have to be extra careful now to avoid that outcome.
Yeah, they do. What kind of impact will we see on the business community in Malaysia from this move by Khazanah's board of directors?
I think initially, of course, there'll be some negative fallout with uncertainty and change. This is what we always see whenever things change in the private sector. They don't like uncertainty. They don't like even change for the sake of change. Certainty is what they love. But I think what we can expect is, given the motivation, the stated motivations of the new government, we should see a cleaner focus on the original objectives to try and support a new class of entrepreneurs, not just Bhumiputra. I think we should try and focus on need rather than race, right? This is a shift that needs to happen. Needs-based rather than race-based interventions in the affirmative action program. For too long now, we've had a program that's focused on race without any socioeconomic means testing. So this is why you have this bizarre case where high-end luxury real estate is discounted for one race and not the others, and as part of a affirmative action program, which is ridiculous, right? So that shift, I think, will provide the right signals in terms of focusing on a needs-based intervention. And also, I think it'll involve divestment from non-essential sectors, and so free up room for the private sector to come back and play a bigger role in the growth and development of the country. So the crowding out, I think, has to give in to crowding in of private investment, both domestic and foreign, if the new government does go about reducing the presence of these towering GLCs in many sectors.
And Jay, just very briefly, I'd like to talk about the talent pool in Malaysia. I mean, this is a huge number of technocrats that are potentially leaving quite an important institution in the country. Do we have enough talent technocrats to take over roles in these high-stakes institutions? For example, former Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Izzetti is not only PNB chairman, she also holds the same role in Sime Darby Property Berhad as well.
Right. I mean, you know, good talent is always difficult to secure, but I think there's enough talent out there. And I think it's not just about whether there's enough talent. It's also, you know, the systemic problems that have plagued these GLCs, right? The lack of transparency, the dependency, the patronage, a nature of relations between government and management. It's those systemic issues, I think, that have been limiting otherwise skilled people from performing their roles efficiently. So there's not just a talent problem, but institutional systemic problem which needs to be addressed. And I think if that institutional constraint is overcome, there's enough talent in Malaysia for things to work well.
And beyond institutional barriers for talent, will the drive by the government to lower the salaries of GLC CEOs have any impact on attracting the best talent to these institutions?
Yeah, I think, you know, you need to be competitive in the total package that you offer. But I think also sometimes when remuneration is not linked to performance criteria, then there is no incentive to actually perform at the best of your abilities, right? So it's not just a question of reducing pay or salaries alone, but to reform the whole package so that it remains competitive but tied to indicators that are linked to performance, right? And if you can do that, then I think you can actually not only attract the right people, but also motivate them to produce the best outcomes in those GLCs or GLICs.
Jay, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was Jent Menon, the lead economist for trade and regional coordination at the Asian Development Bank, talking to us about the resignation of Khazanah National's board of directors. We've got some music coming your way now after these messages.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.